About That Action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by BetQL. Your bracket may bust, but your bankroll never has to with BetQL. Use the promo code MARCH30 for 30% off the entire year of BetQL. That's BetQL promo code MARCH30.
We're also brought to you by Odds Crowd. Odds Crowd's $8,000 March Madness contest is heating up, so don't forget to enter your picks and see all their free contests. Download their app today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds.
We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to make to free daily video picks from SGPN. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV.
We're also brought to you by PicksWise. Follow the PicksWise Capper Contest at PicksWise.com for free picks and analysis throughout the tournament from the likes of John Rothstein, Rashad Phillips, Jeff Nadeau, and more. See which expert is trending hot as they battle it out for a winner-takes-all $10,000 prize over at PicksWise.com.
Lastly, we're brought to you by Better Edge. Better Edge operates like a stock exchange for the sports world. Pick the teams you like and have someone else by the other side. Sign up at BetterEdge.com, promo code SGP for a free $10 play. That's BETTOREdge.com, promo code SGP.
Just About That Action, boss.
Welcome, everyone, to About That Action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kyle Waddy Watnell, joined by my co-host and partner in picks, Mark Megatron Glass. Today is Monday, March 22nd. Mark, how are you?
Doing well, enjoying this March Madness, even though my bracket is absolutely terrible. How's yours going?
Yeah, it has been a rough... I feel like a lot of people are saying... I mean, a lot of people say that every year, but this year especially, there's definitely been some surprises, but it's been a fun one to watch for sure as well. So definitely a good March Madness. Happy March.
Yeah, happy the Ides of March. Beware right. The Ides of March, as Shakespeare would say.
That's right.
But it's nerdy English shit. Let's talk about sports and money.
any sports news we need to talk about before we move into the plan for the week. I'll start with that. We're gonna do some financial investing 101. We picked March Madness on our last long episode last week, and then it's UFC week, UFC pay per view week, UFC 260 heavyweight title fight coming up this weekend. So we're gonna go ahead and break down picks for that as well. Mark, what's the latest in sports?
Latest in sports. Ooh, there's a couple things. NFL. Everyone seems to like that. Reflected in the numbers. Did you see the new TV deal?
What's the new deal?
11 years, $113 billion, and Amazon Prime is getting every Thursday night game, which I think is crazy. That actually, for each team, each owner, that's about $300 million. It's a 75% increase in revenue every year.
Wow.
But, and this is how good the owners are, right? And I always complain about, like, the negotiation process between the NFL owners and the NFL players.
Yeah.
Because the players are... typically, I don't want to say uneducated because that's not fair, but you know, they go to college and they're so consumed in their sport that they don't have the same like Ivy League business school backgrounds that a lot of these billionaire owners have and stuff. So like they're not as well versed in like legal stuff and negotiations and just general business. And it shows like they've just been getting absolutely smoked by the owners. The salary cap as a result of the coronavirus has gone down. It was $198 million last year per team. Now it's $182.5 million, which means that veterans are getting cut left and right.
You know,
players that are getting a little bit older that are easily replaceable because, I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of positions in the NFL are a dime a dozen. Seeing a lot of guys get cut. The market's going down, so players, even at the top end of the market, are getting less money. Now this new TV deal comes out, and we're seeing a huge increase in revenue. I don't see why we couldn't have borrowed again, because it's not like the owners are just like, oh well, maybe the TV deal is going to go down. They've known the whole time that they're going to get a fuckload of money from this, and I feel like maybe they should have borrowed from future years, because that cap's going to go up ridiculously.
Right, I was just going to say the cap has to go up now by a decent amount, right? Considering
and it doesn't start until 2023, but so the 2021 and 2022 caps, those players that are in their prime there, that are going to hit free agency there,
Right.
They kind of got screwed, in my opinion, because
it's a good point.
You know, because the NFL didn't balance it out over those years. I don't know. That's just for me working on a player side. I'm always gonna yeah. sway in that direction. But that just seems, I don't know. It seemed like a little bit of injustice to me.
Definitely cool to get your take on that one. Obviously, somewhat involved with your work and your career in the sports world. So cool to get your take on that one. Speaking of NFL, wasn't your boy? I mean. You've gone ahead and you've made several pleas to Deshaun Watson on the show before when we're picking NFL games. Deshaun Watson's in the news and it's not good news, Mark.
Dude, this I almost feel bad for backing this guy now. Dude, I backed him like nobody else has
yeah,
backed
you,
him.
You
I
sure
backed
did.
Him harder than his own mother.
Relentlessly you backed him. You backed him every he would lose games.
Every game that I bet him, he lost this season. and then he gets the big money deal. I was like, "Let's go. Big money for Deshaun Watson." Now it's like, "Oh, actually he's been rubbing his dick against
apparently,
the massage therapist.
Apparently he's a terrible person."
We think it's all alleged right now,
yeah,
but
it's true,
one of those
it's true.
Things
we
got to
give it
like,
the benefit of the doubt.
It's one of those things though, where it's like the more people that come out of the woodwork
yeah.
and the stories are so similar.
Yeah.
It starts to look a little bit worse on his end. We obviously hope he's innocent. You know, you don't want him to be a scumbag at the end of the day. You never
yeah.
want to see that stuff.
Yeah.
But and it was crazy to me. Like all the stories were the same. It was like he was getting massages and then he like pulled his dick out and like the descriptions of those incidents
that's
were
not good. No.
Were terrible. And so I think maybe 2021 season. We've got a few months for this to unfold, but I may have to hop off the Deshaun Watson train.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, definitely worthy of hopping off the train there. Also, in NBA news, Mark, LeBron James. I mean, everyone's talking about him. He got a high ankle sprain earlier this week. Did you see the injury? And what are your thoughts on that? I mean, sprained ankles are tough to come back from. You and I both know.
Oh, don't talk to me about ankles. I broke my worst injury I ever had in sports was my sophomore year of high school. I was like 15 years old and I broke my ankle playing soccer.
Yeah.
This was the worst part about it, right? It was a high school soccer game, and high school soccer is like a joke. It's people look forward to it because it's like a break from playing with your club team where
right.
it's super ultra competitive.
Right.
So we have a preseason game against the lowest division possible in the state of California, Division 7.
Wow, I didn't know. I didn't know they went that high.
Yeah, co-ed school, boys and girls.
Okay.
Literally like 5 minutes into the game, playing on a shit field,
yeah.
I went up for a header, uncontested, landed on a hole with all my body weight, broke my ankle, six month injury in a cast. We went on to win the game 14-0.
What a pointless injury. You know what I mean?
Dude,
it was all for
so
nothing.
Pointless.
Yeah.
And I never fully recovered for it. It led to me having like, because the ankles are the base of your whole body.
Yeah.
So it led to like hip problems. And then like I would get back soreness and stuff. And
yeah.
it like took forever to heal. That's
yeah.
why I didn't go pro, man. So I didn't go pro. My bum ankle. But so I can totally relate. But it's like, hey, breaking news, LeBron James, as you get older, your body starts
yeah.
to wear down on itself. So it's one of those things. And also the Lakers have been having trouble with Anthony Davis having problems in his right leg too. He's been on and off. So I saw the lines actually. We took the Lakers to win the championship at +250 before
yeah.
the season.
Yeah.
It's still sitting at +250, but
that's interesting.
Who knows? They're looking at like a couple months out without LeBron.
Yeah. I wonder if that'll shift. Definitely interesting. That's the latest in sports news. Let's go ahead and it is college basketball season, let's go ahead and recap our picks from last week. It's time for Financial Investing 101.
Because all we care about is getting fucking rich.
Do it live. I can all write it and we'll do it live.
Financial Investing 101.
Fucking thing sucks.
In true D-Gens only fashion, Mark, last week you took a ton of dogs. You were calling your dog shots left and right. There have been a lot of upsets the past few days. So did you hit any of those dogs, and how did you do financially with your picks last week?
Dude, I missed all my picks.
Is that right? Did you really?
Yeah, I didn't hit any of them. But to be fair I had a 13 seed beating a 4 seed, and I had two 12s beating a 5 seed. Like, I didn't want to give out I didn't want to give out the easy ones, like Oral Roberts beating Ohio
yeah,
State.
Yeah, they were shots. Florida. They were shots. Yeah.
It was too easy to predict the 15 beating. So I'm rich now because I did that. No, but
that's tough. Those didn't hit.
So I didn't want to count it against my total just because I took long shots just for the sake of the listeners. I'm sorry if you took them because you would have lost about $300. But yeah, I mean the tournament's been crazy. There's been a lot of upsets here. The first one seed lost to Loyola Illinois.
Right.
Yesterday I think, and then Abilene Christian, dude. That's the story.
That's a funny one.
Yeah. They're currently getting smoked by UCLA as we record.
Yeah, they beat number three
Texas. Oregon State beat number 5 Tennessee, and Oklahoma State, who was a 4 seed, and then Oral Roberts, obviously the big story, beating Ohio State in the first round in Florida. So they're in the Sweet 16, which is pretty sweet.
Super sweet.
That's the magic of the tournament.
They're the Cinderella team for sure. A school called
Oral Roberts.
How
about you? How was your week of betting?
I did all right. I actually made profit from my March Madness episode last week. I did back my hometown heroes in the SDSU Aztecs. They lost. They looked horrible. They had a terrible, terrible game. They were the favorites to win, and they did not get the job done against Syracuse. Syracuse plays that difficult zone. They play a 2-3 zone, and SDSU could not figure it out. They were trying to take their shots from the perimeter. Not the best 3-point shooting team. Nothing was going in. So missed my lock there. So that was disappointing. Both in the sense because I had money on it and because I love SDSU. I did, however, hit my dog mark, which was turns out Iowa aren't that good of a team anyway, because I had them. I had Grand Canyon University covering a 15-point spread in Grand Canyon Super Bowl in the first round, and they did in fact do that. It was actually they lost by like 12, so just barely got that one through. And then I hit my under 145 points in St. Bonaventure versus LSU. That one hit pretty comfortable. So I ended up going 2-1 for an $80 profit. And of course, Gonzaga still feeling great about that one. They're at plus two. I got them at plus 275, and they've looked like the sharpest team in the tournament. So I'm feeling pretty good about my future prediction as well.
Yeah, I got Baylor in at plus 700, and okay. They're flying right now.
Yeah,
so
they're looking good.
Maybe I'll meet you in the final.
That would be exciting for sure. That would be fun. I should also mention you had BYU being the upset COVID outbreak of the tournament. Just missed that one. It was a three syllable team in VCU. Oregon gets the first round bye. That was an interesting one.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I saw that. I originally misread it, and I just saw like the three letter. I saw it like first thing in the morning.
That would have been a little scary, dude. We would have gotten into investigated for that. BYU.
Yeah, I checked my phone like right when I woke up, which is a big no-no. All right, don't do that. It's really bad for you. But my eyes were all blurry, and I saw on my sports news feed it was like VCU COVID, and I read it as, and in my head I was planning for BYU to have
course.
It. So I read it as that, and I was actually pretty hyped, but
BYU did make some funny headlines anyway when one of their players got locked in an elevator. I don't know if you saw that all over
the
news.
I did not see that.
That was pretty good. Anyway, let's move on. Let's try to make some more money this week. Our form's been pretty decent recently. Obviously, you just missed a lot of shots on March Madness, but overall, in terms of our improvement since the inception of the show, we've had a good little run here, so let's keep the good juju going. UFC 260. We're only going to talk what? We're going to talk four fights, Mark, on the main card. Normally, there probably will be five fights on the main card. We don't know which the fifth will be yet because this fight card lost the featherweight championship fight between Alexander Volkanovski and Brian Ortega. Volkanovski tested positive for COVID, so that fight is off. So now we only have one title fight on this card. And three others that are for sure on the main card. So we're going to break those down for you guys. First one being Jamie Mullarkey, a plus 105 dog, takes on one of the guys with the coolest names in the UFC, Kama Worthy. Kama Worthy is a minus 135 favorite. Mark, who do you like in this one?
I'm actually going to defer to you on this one. These are two guys that I'm not too familiar with. I need the strategy breakdown. Regardless, I'm taking Jamie Mullarkey. Just because of that bar on the peninsula in Newport.
Oh yeah, Mullarkey's.
I know what you're talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Legendary place, very nostalgic. So I want a chance to root for it because I miss going. I haven't been able to go to that place for a year. That was actually the last bar I went to before the COVID lockdown.
Really? Okay.
Was this bar in Newport Beach called Mullarkey? Shout out Mullarkey's.
What a great reason to take.
So I saw this and I was instantly like, all right, this guy's got that name. And he's a close underdog. Like I like how these stars are aligning.
I actually, sorry to burst the bubble here. I'm about to burst the bubble.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, how do these fighters match up? Like, is there any technical reasoning to back up my emotional pick?
Not technically, no. I think emotionally it makes sense. I'm personally of the opinion that Kama Worthy is the better fighter here. I think he should be maybe a 150 range. Like I mentioned, he's at minus 135. So I actually think there's value on Kama Worthy. So I'm going to take that as my pick in this fight. I expect this to stay on the feet. Mark, you took the guy who's probably the slightly better ground fighter, but I think Kama Worthy withstands the takedowns, and I think he kind of picks Malarkey apart on the feet. Malarkey is super durable, though, so I wouldn't be surprised if this one went the distance if you want to look into the distance markets. I think both these guys are durable enough to make it there as long as we avoid a submission, but the way I see this fight playing out, Kama Worthy picks Malarkey apart on the feet. He's a super good, talented striker. I just give him the bookies give him the slight edge. I mean, it is a close fight, but I actually want to back Kama Worthy in this spot. I think he picks him apart, doesn't finish him, but gets a decision win. No reaction to that?
No, dude. you just shit on my emotional pick. My heart is aching right now.
You just asked me to break it down and give you a full breakdown, and then he said nothing.
This is 2021. You got to let people down lighter than that. You can't just. Hey, you gotta start with a positive.
Hey, you might be right. I mean, the odds are close. Maybe Malarkey gets the job done, and then you can laugh at me next week. That could happen. I mean, Kama Worthy has looked. He hasn't looked amazing. He's looked good.
I'm a millennial snowflake. All right, I have to always be. My opinion has to always be validated one way or another.
Snowflake, because you're unique, Mark. You're one of the most unique people to host a podcast. That's for sure. But are you gonna stick to your guns here? You take Malarkey, all right? Take Malarkey.
It's too late. I already put it in the Google Doc.
All right, it's done. Malarkey's your pick. I'm gonna go with Kama Worthy. That is potentially the fight opener on the main card of UFC 260. Oh, I'm excited to talk about this next one. We got the return of Sugar Sean O'Malley, a minus 300 favorite. Still getting the respect from the bookies. He takes on Thomas Almeida, a plus 240 dog. Mark, this pick went horribly last time. We both backed O'Malley in his spot against Chito Vera. And then, of course, the famous leg kick that shut down O'Malley's leg, and he ended up losing via TKO. Does he bounce back here?
I'm going to say yes.
I feel like
what happened last, for the record, I don't know a whole lot about Thomas Almeida. Yeah, not off to a great start. The first three out of the four start
nice.
Fighters. Not exactly sure.
Well, Thomas Almeida, well, I'll let you go first. You go first.
Well, I was just going to say, I feel like the Sean O'Malley fight last time, a few months ago, against Marlon Vera, what was it, UFC 241 or something? Or I don't remember.
Something more recent than that.
I think, yeah, it was only a couple months ago, but yeah. I think in that, I want to put that down as a fluke for me.
Oh, a fluke. That's a big word. It was a fluke.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that was one of those instances where his leg left his body. And he was fighting on one leg, and it just got absolutely smoked. And
yeah.
I don't know. I think he'll be more conscious of that. I think also at the time, that was his first loss ever. So I think maybe there is a little bit of cockiness there because of the hype train surrounding this guy, just because of who 100%. He is. You know, he looks ridiculous.
100%.
Never say it to his face.
Remember
though, so.
last time we said he looks like a video game character that you have to like unlock the rainbow afro.
Yeah,
he looks like the most ridiculous guy you'd create in like a UFC video game or a Street Fighter video game. He looks absurd.
Yeah, like, unlock a face tattoo at like level. But yeah, I think he'll have learned from that mistake, and I think he'll have cleaned up his footwork in that regard, and so I don't think he'll be as susceptible to that. So I like the minus 300 here, and yeah. I'm going to take that.
Yeah, I agree. I think Thomas Almeida is kind of he's a solid fighter, but he's kind of one of those guys that, you know, not necessarily a stepping stool, but a guy that I think Sean O'Malley can definitely get past, and they probably want Sean O'Malley to get past. I mean, you know how I always break down these UFC cards, and I like to talk about what the UFC kind of wants to happen in the situation.
You're like a UFC marketing conspirator.
Well, dude, it's actually won me a ton of money on the UFC, so I like to think that way. Sometimes you got to think about, like, what does the UFC want in this situation, and what's going to happen as a result of that? Obviously, the UFC wanted Sean O'Malley to knock out Chito Vera. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's got a huge hype train. He's super marketable. He's actually really funny. He has his own podcast. He's got his own things going on. Super easy guy to get behind. But obviously that didn't happen. Like you said, you called it a fluke. Something weird happened. He took a weird leg kick. It's a really kind of weird injury that's happened to Henry Cejudo. May or may not have happened to Conor McGregor with the leg kicks, but it was just a weird one where the nerve kind of turned his foot off. And I agree. I just think, considering that's his only loss and all his like wins in the past year have been unreal knockouts and he's looked like an absolute killer, I think it makes sense to back him here to get a bounce back win. Minus 300 is a bit juicy. Definitely the juiciest favorite on the main card, but I still think he gets it done probably by knockout, and then the hype train is back on track.
Yeah, and I think for guys like at O'Malley's level that, you know, they're not, you know, the top five in that division where maybe they get multiple title shots and we give them the benefit of the doubt, but the guys that are kind of like maybe like 10th or lower in the rankings in their division, like it's a very like what have you done for me lately kind of vibe where one loss, you know, you take one loss, even if it's off of a freak injury, you know, that results in an unexpected knockout. Because going into that fight, he was like a minus 300 in that one too.
Yep.
I remember. And so people just quickly forget how good this guy actually is. So I'm not ready to sleep on him. I'm not ready to sleep on him now.
I agree. Sean O'Malley, we both agree on that pick at minus 300 over Thomas Almeida. Could also look into knockout props. He tends to finish his fights early if you want to be a little more risky. But we're going to go ahead and lay the chalk on Sean O'Malley. Co-main event, Mark. Interesting co-main event. I mean, this is replacing, well, it wasn't going to be a co-main event. The other title fight was supposed to be, but instead we get Tyron Woodley, who's on an absolute skid. He's lost his last three fights. He's been looking real bad. He's a plus 195 underdog versus Vicente Luque, a minus 250 favorite. Oh man, what do you think? What are your thoughts on this fight? What are your thoughts on where Tyron Woodley's at in his career?
That's the thing with Tyron Woodley is like you never know what goes on in that guy's head.
Dude, like, that guy's nuts. He's literally he's got some screws loose.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like to pick a guy like that in general because you just never know what you're gonna get out of him.
Mm-hmm.
You could totally see him being the guy. You know, he's on a losing streak and just being like, "Fuck it," you know. Like, not, I don't want to say he's not trying because I have no grounds to say that.
I totally get what you're saying, though. He has been so frustrating to watch his last few fights. If you've ever watched the early Tyron Woodley when he was on that title run where he was just the champ and he was crushing people, when you've seen what he's capable of and then you compare that to his last few fights and watching him, it's like so frustrating to watch. So I totally understand where you're coming from there. And I've had the same thought process. I don't want to say he's not trying, but it looks like you're like, dude, like the fight's not going your way. You got to switch something up. But instead he just gets pushed against the fence and he loses decisions, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't know. I also like this Luque guy.
Yeah. Vicente Luque is pretty sick.
He's definitely on the come up here. Like as much as, I think it's a nice intersection here where
totally
we really don't know what we're going to get out of Woodley, who's been on the decline, and Luque is,
totally
just a absolutely deadly finisher. And so I could totally see him, you know, on the upswing.
Yeah.
This might be a time where, he jumps into the top half of the rankings.
Yeah. This is for sure Vicente Luque's moment. Like you said, it's a great intersection is a great word for it. He's on the rise and this is a good name to get on his resume. I think that's what most people expect to happen. That's why the price is the way that it is. Tyron Woodley is coming off of a rib injury, against Colby Covington, where he got beat pretty much the whole fight and then finally cracked the rib and tapped out. So that it's tough to know how this fight's going to go down. I mean, like you said, Luque is a vicious finisher. I expect him to push Woodley against the fence and throw some bombs. At the same time, though, Woodley is pretty durable. Aside from that Covington loss, he has been pretty durable. His fight against Burns was a good example of how he's good at losing decisions. This fight's only three rounds. I like the over two rounds in this fight, Mark. First of all, I do like Vicente Luque to get the job done. I will say that up front. But I think there's a little more value at minus 150 on over two rounds. I don't really think he's going to, I mean, if he gets Woodley out of there under two rounds and I lose this bet, it's time for Tyron Woodley to hang it up, I think. I think you and I can agree on that. But I think he's going to last long enough that this will go over the two rounds. So I like the value pick at minus 150. What do you think?
Okay, yeah, I like that. I'm going money line at minus 250.
Yeah, take Luke.
Just for the sole fact that I just you don't know what you're going to get. Like, yeah. For all you know, Tyron Woodley could get a first-round knockout, or he could get himself knocked out in the first round,
too. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
But I do like the over two rounds, because especially with Tyron Woodley in his last few fights that have been losses, like when he was at the mountaintop.
Slow starter.
Yeah, when he was at the mountaintop as the self-proclaimed chosen one.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
He was such an aggressor. Like, he loved just taking the fights with the opponent, like, gave him no time to breathe, like, so many significant strikes.
Yeah.
And it just seems like in the last few fights, he's like, part of the, it's like we said, I don't want to say he's not caring, but it's just like he's clearly taking his foot off the gas.
He looks tired.
Yeah, he looks tired. He looks over it, to be honest. Yeah. Like, yeah. So I definitely could see, you know, Luque just taking his time with it and knowing it's a 3-round fight.
Yeah.
You know, having no problem going that deep.
Yep, I like it. Of course, the last and final fight to talk about is the heavyweight rematch between Stipe Miocic and Francis Ngannou. Before we break down that fight, let's do a quick word from our great sponsors.
Kyle calls them our great sponsors because he doesn't have to read any of the ad reads this week. So thank you to the great sponsors, and tune in with me for the next 3 minutes, or skip it, I don't care. But anyways, we're brought to you by BetQL. Looking to get an edge and make smarter bets during March Madness? BetQL's algorithm scans thousands of data points across every game to find the best bets. Easily find the most profitable bets based on their top betting trends. Your brackets may bust, but your bankroll doesn't have to, so head to BetQL.com to get started today, or head to the App Store or Google Play Store to download BetQL and bet smarter, not harder. Just use code MARCH30 for 30% off BetQL for an entire year. That's BetQL.com, promo code MARCH30. We're also brought to you by Odds Crowd. Hopefully you entered the Odds Crowd contest for March Madness. For your chance to win $8,000, don't forget to enter your March Madness picks over at oddscrowd.com as the contest heats up. And Odds Crowd isn't just fantasy betting contest, it's a social app built just for sports bettors, free to download. You can live group chat with other bettors, track your bets, set up private betting contests with your buddies, and much more. So download the app for free or go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. We're also brought to you by PicksWise.com. Helmed by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring, sports fanatic wise guys, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction on every game, every day, in every sport, all for free. PicksWise presents the Capper Contest to follow with the likes of John Rothstein, Rashad Phillips, Jeff Nadeau, and six other experts who weren't good enough to be named, apparently, all competing for a $10,000 winner-takes-all prize. Follow the action for their free picks and analysis every day of the big dance by visiting PicksWise.com/March-Madness. That's PicksWise.com/March-Madness. We're also brought to you by BetterThan.Vegas. It's like YouTube, but for what hashtag DGens only care about most, and that's sports betting, of course. We're giving out free daily video picks over on our Better Than Vegas profile page. Better Than Vegas is always running a ton of free contests as well. They've got a ton of free picks and handicappers to check out, so make sure to subscribe to our profile so you don't miss a pick. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.BTV. And lastly, we're brought to you by Better Edge, which allows you to buy and sell betting positions like a stock market. And since you're buying positions from other sports bettors, there is no house, which is legal in more than 40 states. Post the plays you like and have someone at the Better Edge Marketplace take the other side. They have a ton of other fun against the spread picking contest as well. So sign up today at betteredge.com and use promo code SGP for a free $10 play. That's BETTOREdge.com, promo code SGP.
Wow, one little stutter at the end. It would have been an absolute miracle run, Mark. That was like 5 ad reads in a row without a cut, and then one little stutter at the end. But we'll let it
slide.
That
is like the most public speaking I've ever done.
Good work, man. Yeah, Mark offered during the ad break. He was like, oh, you read all of them last week, because we had obviously famously the leaf blower going on in the background of your place. So I appreciate you making up for it this week, man. Appreciate that. Let's go ahead and let's dive into the main event. Francis Ngannou, since challenging Stipe Miocic the first time for the heavyweight belt, he has been just absolutely knocking people's heads off. and he comes back for the rematch. Stipe is the underdog for this fight, which I find crazy. We're going to get into that a little bit more, but Stipe is the underdog. You can find him at like plus 105 range. Francis Ngannou, you can find around minus 105, minus 110. Very, very interesting fight. Will it play out the way it did the first time?
I'm going to give this one to Miocic.
Me too.
At plus 100.
I'm kind of surprised by that. I'm not going to lie. I thought you might, I thought you might be like, come in here like, oh, Francis Ngannou knocks people. How are you going to bet against that? Look at that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, so that is fair. But I kind of use that logic
against yourself.
Yeah. No, literally. Well, first of all, I mean, Miocic is just, he's just absolutely goated. Like, you just can't. But I was thinking, I was looking at a stat. I've got it right here. Okay, yeah. Ngannou, he went against Curtis Blaydes, Cain Velasquez, Junior Dos Santos, and Jairzinho Rozenstruik, all top contender heavyweights, all absolute killers that are very similar fighters to him. Mm-hmm. Just big boys that can knock each other out. He beat all four of those guys in a combined 162 seconds. That's not a typo. That's 2 minutes and 42 seconds for four fights.
Yep.
So I kind of thought about that, wow. And I was like, do we really know how good Francis Ngannou is?
Oh.
We've seen him fight for less than a round over four fights, which we obviously have to give him credit to knock guys of that caliber out.
Unbelievable, yeah.
But Miocic is still a step above all of those guys, in my opinion.
100%.
He's a much better defensive fighter, a much better wrestler. He's obviously extremely durable.
Yep.
I mean, there's almost no chinks in the armor of Stipe Miocic. I mean, that guy.
He's a brilliant all-around fighter.
Yeah, there's nothing bad that you can say about him. He's the greatest heavyweight fighter of all time for a reason. And so I don't think Francis Ngannou is going to have the luxury of a 10-second knockout here, or a 30-second knockout, or even a first-round knockout. So then the questions of conditioning come into play. The questions of takedown defense come into play.
Yep.
And I don't know. I think the fact that Ngannou's just been on such a tear, just absolutely mowing people down in a matter of seconds over the last couple years, I think maybe that goes into his favor, and that's why he's the favorite in this. But I'm gonna put my money behind Miocic here. I'm gonna take the more experienced fighter in the title fight here, and I'm gonna say history repeats.
I totally agree. I think it's wild that we're getting Stipe Miocic as a dog. The most decorated heavyweight in UFC history, the most well-rounded heavyweight in UFC history, a guy who's won this fight already against the same guy. And you're totally right. It's just the shiny new object, and Francis Ngannou is just so fun to watch, and everyone talks about him because he crushes people within 20 seconds most of the time, that he's the talk of the town. But don't you forget, Stipe Miocic is the GOAT in the heavyweight division, and he's won this fight before, and that's obviously the game plan. He's going to take Ngannou down, and he's going to hold him down where he can't get knocked out. And he's just going to do that five rounds in a row, and he's going to control him on the ground, and he's gonna ground and pound him a little bit, and he's probably going to get a decision win. I think that's the most realistic way this fight plays out. The only other way this plays out is, I'll be honest, is if Ngannou lands that shot. The only difference between this time and the last time they fought is that Miocic has been knocked out now. I think we should talk about that, Mark. When Miocic fought Daniel Cormier, right, DC, in that first heavyweight fight, Miocic did get knocked out, and that was kind of the first time we'd seen him really, really hit hard and by one single punch put down. Is his chin a little bit cracked now? Is there a little bit of a crack in his chin that maybe he can't eat some of the same shots that he did eat from Ngannou the first time? That's the question mark, because he did eat some absolute bombs the first time they fought, and he just ate them for breakfast. But now, has he taken enough damage, and has he, because he took that big shot from DC, is his chin a little bit weaker the second time around? I don't know. It's a tough one to call, but I think you can't stand in the way of a guy with the resume of Miocic, right?
Yeah, it's like, that's the other side of the coin, right, is that it's almost similar to when we talked about Blachowicz against Adesanya, and we said that it just takes one hit, you know? So it's the same principle where it's Stipe Miocic, he's got to have a perfect fight.
Yeah.
He opens himself up one time, and that could be the belt,
right?
You know, against a guy like Ngannou. And I think that's what happened in the last few fights for Ngannou against the guys like Dos Santos, like Rozenstruik, like Velasquez. Those are guys that are similar to Ngannou in that, like, they're willing to take hits and just wait on that moment,
sure,
to land that deadly punch with their preferred fist. Whereas Miocic is the kind of guy that he's going to be, I think he's a little bit smarter. He doesn't want to take those shots necessarily.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how you said that he had already been knocked out. He was knocked out by Cormier, the fight after he beat Ngannou, actually.
Right.
But I just think Daniel Cormier presents such a different challenge than Ngannou back then.
Because
he's shorter. He's a much better wrestler.
Yeah.
He's a bit more mobile.
You're right, and he got caught in a clinch. Threats. You're right. He got caught in a clinch shot too. I should mention that they were in a clinch, and DC threw a right hand in the clinch that Stipe didn't see coming. That's what put him out. And Ngannou, there's not going to be as many of those clinch situations.
And Ngannou's not going to hide anything. And Ngannou's going to walk up to you and say,
and "Wail." He's going to wail his fist.
I'm going to hit you in the head.
Right.
At one point, I'm going to hit you in the head. Can you block it or can you absorb it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think Miocic is smart enough to do either of those things.
Yeah.
Smart enough or tough enough to do either of those things respectively. So
definitely.
That's why I see it going that way. But I mean, at the same time, it's such a close line because, you know, he gets one shot off and, you know, Miocic could die. He could literally die.
It's unreal. Yeah. It's unreal how hard Ngannou can hit. His physique is unreal. His punching power is unreal.
It is incredible to take a look at a guy like Ngannou just physically. Like, he's such a big, scary-looking guy.
It's crazy.
And to sit here and think, like, yeah, there's actually a different guy that I think could kick his ass. You know, like,
that's what I love about mixed martial arts, man. This is mixed martial arts. If this was a boxing match, it'd be I would be betting the other way. But I'm gonna go ahead and back the wrestler in this spot. Back the guy who already got the job done against Ngannou once. This bet could go very poorly, very very quickly, but I think we just have to trust the resume of such a talented guy like Stipe. So that'll be an interesting.
You think there's a knockout?
No, I think Stipe wins by decision. I think he does exactly what he did the first time. I think he holds Ngannou down. Ngannou gets frustrated. Ngannou says he's been working on his takedown defense, but as you mentioned, we haven't seen any proof yet. His fights have been way too short. We don't know enough about his wrestling defense yet. I think it happens by decision.
There's working on your takedown defense, and then there's takedown defense against Stipe Miocic.
Right.
And they're not the same thing.
That's so true. Also, I mean, you could say a submission's a possibility. If Ngannou gets gassed out, I mean, we have no... That's another one. We don't know what his gas tank's like. We know Stipe has a better gas tank that can go the distance. We don't know how long Ngannou can go without getting tired. You have to back the guy that has shown more, that we know a little bit more about. I don't know. Is Ngannou one-dimensional? I mean, I think probably, yeah. So that's why I'm going to back Stipe here. Anything else on this great matchup? I mean, this will be an absolute banger either way. Any other thoughts on this one before we move on to the Lockdog Parlay?
No, I think we covered it. It's just Ngannou, we really don't know what we're going to get, A, because of his incredible punching power, probably the hardest hitting fighter in all of the UFC across any division.
Definitely.
And also because he's only fought for 2.5 minutes in the last 3 years. So it's like, who knows, but it'll definitely be worth the hype. I'm excited to get the chance to watch two heavyweights. It's always fun to watch two legendary fighters go against each other.
100%. Let's go ahead and get to the moment the listeners have been waiting for. It's time to close out with the Lockdog Parlay.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Subconsciously. I'm still alive.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Parlay.
Lockdog Parlay.
Don't tell me you're going to lock up the one-legged dude in Sean O'Malley.
Of course I'm going to do that.
Me too. I believe in the bounce back.
Yeah, there was never another shot. I'm staying on the Sean O'Malley hype train.
Yes, yes.
I want to be able to say that I was with him before he was the biggest thing in the sport.
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, yeah, totally. He's the guy that could reach that level of stardom. So I agree with you. Lots of people are down on him right now, and lots of people are going to fade him. But we're going to go ahead and back Sean O'Malley. Well, that's a double lock. We're both locking up Sean O'Malley -300 to get the job done against Thomas Almeida, your dog.
My dog is a rare opportunity to take the greatest fighter of all time not out of his prime as a dog.
Crazy.
I mean, it takes Stipe Miocic at a simple plus 100. I honestly see him getting a knockout here. I admittedly didn't check what the line is for that, but I'm just going to go with the dog at plus 100 for the money line there.
You see Stipe getting a knockout? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
I see like a fourth or fifth round
a hot
knockout.
Take. Okay, yeah. On the ground or like standing?
Or I shouldn't say necessarily a knockout.
A
knockout
TKO,
or
a TKO, a TKO.
And any the fight will not go the distance.
Wow.
I don't think.
Oh, interesting.
In favor of Miocic.
Interesting. That is definitely interesting. That's a hot take. I'll take Miocic as well as my dog. I didn't have any other dogs that I liked on the main card. You took the first dog because of Malarkey's down in Newport Beach.
but you shit on that idea. So
so I'm going to go ahead and take – we're going to have the same lock and the same dog. We're in this together so far, but I'm sure we won't be after hearing your parlay. What is your parlay?
My parlay is going to be all my picks that I took minus Malarkey because you made me feel insecure about it. So I'm going to take O'Malley, Luque, and Miocic, and that comes out to plus 273.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't know if I would call it a safe parlay, but it's a smaller one than I'm used to. I like the big ones, but those just haven't been working. So maybe this one goes in my favor. It's about time we hit a parlay.
I agree. I like those three. A couple of them are in mine. I'm gonna parlay with Sean O'Malley as well, but I'm gonna combine him with Kama Worthy, the guy that I backed at the beginning of the show. Also gonna, you know, I couldn't let this show slide by without including a prelim fighter mark.
I thought we were gonna go a whole UFC show without talking about the prelim.
Miranda Maverick, she is a prelim fighter. She's gonna get the job done. She's like minus 175, minus 180 range. She could be one of the next big things. Reminds me a lot of Ronda Rousey, actually. But anyway, Miranda Maverick is gonna be thrown into my three fighter parlay. Initially had Miocic in this one, and then I was like, you know, if I take Miocic out, the punching power of Ngannou, I don't want that to ruin my parlay. That'd be disappointing. So I'm gonna go ahead and take just these three. You can get that at a plus 259 payout. Mark, any last words before we close out the show? Obviously, we come back for the quick picks show this week. You can follow me at BetOnKyle on Twitter. And you can follow at the SGP Network on Twitter as well. Feel free to visit sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Mark, any last words before we close out the show?
Never any last words, Kyle. You ask me every week. It's been half a year, and I've never once had last words.
We'll see you next week.
I'll continue that trend.